Matthew chapter 6, and our text today, verses 9 through 13. Let's give our attention to God's inspired word. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We pray your blessing upon this time. We ask, Lord, that we would come to hope in your word. That we would put our trust, our confidence in the scriptures, knowing that they are your word. We pray particularly as we look at the Lord's Prayer together that you would shape and change our hearts, our thinking, and our praying. May this be done for your glory and for our good, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. After the children of Israel left the land of Egypt, they came out into the wilderness of Sinai. And in the wilderness of Sinai, one of the first things they did was complain. And one of the first things they complained about was what? Food. They didn't know where they were going to get food to eat. And they remembered the food that they had back in Egypt. And so God takes care of them, right? He takes care of them how? He provides manna, bread from heaven. God rains down, so to speak, this bread, this food for the ancient Israelites. But he does not give them enough for a week. He doesn't give them enough for a month at a time. He doesn't give them enough to store away for a rainy day, or just in case things go south. He gives them how much? He gives them one day's portion, and if they try to hoard it and take more than what they should, then it breeds worms and stank, in the words of the King James Version. God was teaching his people some important things. He was teaching them, number one, that he's the provider, that he is the source of their life. He's the source of their bread. He's the source of their material needs being met. That comes from God. And number two, and just as important as number one, number two, he's teaching them that I'll supply your needs, but I'll supply them for today. I won't necessarily give you what you need for tomorrow. You worry about tomorrow when tomorrow comes. I'll take care of you day by day. We come to the fourth petition now of the Lord's Prayer. It is, give us this day our daily bread. And here we are praying, in this fourth request, we're praying what the ancient Israelites were taught by God. We are praying, God, provide for us. God, meet our physical needs, meet our material needs. And God, do it day by day. We don't look to tomorrow, we don't look to the next day or the future, we look to today and your provision for today. We come now to the final three petitions or requests of the Lord's Prayer. And of course, that means we've covered the first three. And we said the first three were a unit. They go together. We talked about God's name, God's kingdom, and God's will. And those are the three things that we were focused on at the outset. And we learned from that that God wants us to think about him and his glory first and foremost. And those first three petitions teach us to do that. To think about it in terms of language, think about the thy of those first three petitions. Hallowed be thy name, verse 9, verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Hey, that's what we were focused on, those first three requests. We're focused on God and what belongs to him, his glory, his kingdom, his will being done in the world. Now we see a shift from thy to us. Now we are praying for our needs. We are praying for what we need from God, whether that's physical needs, like we see here in the fourth petition today, or spiritual needs that we'll get to in the final two petitions. So we have this shift. Now it's not that we've left God behind. Okay? We should never do that. Even in praying for God to meet our needs, to take care of our basic necessities, we still have God in view, right? We're still thinking about the Lord as the great provider and sustainer of our lives. But we do have a shift here from directly thinking about and focusing on God in his glory to now thinking about us and our needs, which we look to God to supply. So what is this fourth petition about? What is give us this day our daily bread? What are we really asking for when we pray for daily bread? Well, to put it simply, we're asking God to meet our basic needs. We're asking God to meet our material needs, our necessities in life, at the center of which is food, symbolized by the bread here. Now, some church fathers, commentators, and godly people throughout church history have looked at this as a spiritual thing, that what we're asking for God to do for us is feed us with spiritual bread, with Christ himself, or with the Word of God. Now, of course, that's true. And don't forget that that's first and foremost, right? Remember the temptation, the first temptation. Jesus was out in the wilderness, and the devil tempted him how? Turn these stones into bread. What did Jesus say to him? Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So Jesus taught us there that spiritual food is the most important. We also know that Jesus is the bread of life himself. He's the one that we need to be fed with most importantly. John 6:35, I am the bread of life, Jesus said. He that comes to me shall never hunger. And of course we know that bread is central to the Lord's Supper, right? It's one of the two elements that symbolizes the death of Christ. So all these things are true and right and good, but we do believe that what Jesus is teaching us here is to pray for physical necessities, for material needs, that his focus is on that. Now the two are connected, right? And let's think about how they're connected for just a minute. If you have not had anything to eat, and you don't know where your next meal is coming from, how spiritual will you be? How much will you long to pray and to be with the saints and hear the word of God? Probably not so much. You'll be thinking about bread. You'll be thinking about food. You'll be thinking about basic needs of life, right? So there's a connection between these two things. We ask God to meet our physical needs, and in doing so, he gives us the strength, the ability to attend to spiritual matters. But as we said, when Jesus teaches us here, give us this day our daily bread, we believe he's talking about physical bread, about meeting our basic needs in life. Why bread? Well, bread was central to the life of the ancient Israelite, and for that matter, to every people. Right? Bread is the staple of life. It's the staff of life. It's that piece of food, if we could put it this way, it symbolizes food. Right? Many times in the Bible, people are talking about bread. They're not talking about bread literally. They're talking about food. They're talking about the food that they need. So much so, when people eat a meal in the New Testament, what is it referred to as? It's referred to as breaking bread, partaking in a meal together. So here we are talking about bread, and bread is that central, all-important item of food that symbolizes everything else. In addition to that, I think it also right to see asking God to give us our daily bread a way of expressing other needs and necessities as well, right? We need clothing, we need shelter, we need things in order to eat this daily bread, in order to partake of it and do so in a way that is nourishing and strengthening to our body. So some of our forefathers in the faith would have greatly expanded what Jesus was teaching us here in asking for our daily bread because they were thinking about all the implications of this. For example, some of our forefathers in the faith would have said, here in the fourth petition, we are praying for good health. Why would that be? Why are we praying for good health? Well, if we ask God for our daily bread, but we can't partake of it, we can't eat it because we're sick, then we don't get what we need, right? We don't get the strength and nourishment that we need. Or we pray in the fourth petition for good government. You say, Pastor Nick, I don't see that in there. Okay, well, stay with me. We pray for good government. Why? Because governments often interfere with people getting their daily bread. We're praying for that kind of government to stay away. That God would keep the bad government a way so that we can have a good government, so that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, and have the bread that we need to live and survive. So what are we praying for here? We're praying for basic necessities of life, the central one of which is food. But other things are included in that as well. Martin Luther, the German reformer, put it this way: therefore, our petition here is that he may give us our daily bread, that is, everything necessary for the preservation of this life, like food, a healthy body, good weather, house, home, wife, children, good government, and peace, and that he may preserve us from all sorts of calamities, sickness, pestilence, hard times, war, revolution, and the like. That's a lot, isn't it? Well, when we pray and ask God to meet our basic needs, our necessities in life, we are asking God for quite a bit. And there's a number of different ways to pray this kind of prayer and ask God to meet our needs. Okay, so we are praying for bread, our daily bread here. And what are we asking for? We're asking God to give it to us. Look at that word at the beginning of this petition. Give us this day our daily bread. We're asking God, we're going to God in prayer and saying, God, please give us food. God, please supply our basic needs in life. Please give us those things that are necessary to sustain human life. We're asking God for food. Now, would you think it was weird if I took our prayer list and I wrote a new prayer request on it that said food? Yes, you would think that's weird. You'd think it's weird because why? Why would we think that's weird to add food to the prayer list? Well, when I was a kid, I was confused by this request. Why would we ask God to give us our daily bread when there's a grocery store right down the street? Why would we ask God to give us our daily bread? The refrigerator's full. We've got all we need and then some. We've got food stored up for days and weeks and maybe even months. So does it seem like a strange prayer request to pray, give us this day our daily bread? Why request food from God when we have all this abundance? And that is our situation in life, is it not? I don't know if anyone here is going hungry. If you are, you come see us after the service, and we will help you with that. But I don't think any of us are going hungry, and we'll go home today to full refrigerators probably, full pantries, and especially at Thanksgiving. Right? We will have an abundance of food here, and you will probably have an abundance of food at your house or your relative's house this week, and you'll eat turkey for the next 6 months or so because of it. So why pray, give us this day our daily bread, if we have all of this abundance? It's because the modern world tends to trick us into thinking that we don't need to pray this kind of prayer. We don't really need to ask God for our daily bread. We've got it covered, God. We've got it taken care of already. We've got other stuff to pray about, not that. But that's not really true, is it? Why is it not true? Well, number one, the reason why we need to pray the fourth petition is because of the fall of man into sin. You say, Pastor Nick, what does that have to do with our daily bread? Listen to what God said to Adam, Genesis 3:17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Here we go. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Verse 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. You know what changed with the fall? It became harder to get food. It became harder to enjoy that food. It became more difficult to get that food and have that food sustain you in the best way or in the right way. So the fall brought about this situation where you've got to go by the sweat of your brow and get the bread that you need to eat, to work the earth and see the earth be fruitful and give you what you need. In addition to that, you just never know, right? You may go home and your pantry is full, your groceries are stocked, the refrigerator's full, you have an abundance, but you don't know if that's going to be the situation the next day. or the day after that. Now, many times we assume it will be. We think it's been this way for a long time. It'll probably always be this way, where we are abundantly supplied with these things, but we don't know that for sure, do we? Who can you think of in the Bible who had everything taken away in a moment? Job, right? All of it. Here one day, gone the next. And none of us knows if that'll be the situation for us. We never know what God's plan is in His sovereignty. And so we need to pray the fourth petition. We need to go to God and say, give us this day our daily bread. This fourth request reminds us of who is in charge of food. I watched a commercial that pops up from time to time. I believe it was a Microsoft computer commercial. And they were talking about how they're using technology and computers to study the science of producing food and using all these modern technological methods to produce better crops, bigger crops, and feed the world. And the one thing that was not mentioned was what? God. There was no mention of God. Why? Because people today think we've got it figured out. What we do is we apply these methods and we get the following results. Right? Maybe the farmer even thinks that way sometimes. The farmer thinks, well, I follow these four steps and I get a certain crop back and I know I'm going to get it back every time. Or people, computer-minded people, think, well, if we apply science, then we get what we want. But what does that forget? It forgets that God's in charge of all that. God's the one who established all those rules and principles for farming and food production and all these sorts of things. And He can bless it or He can withhold that blessing if He so chooses. Think about what God told Israel in the Old Testament about their obedience or disobedience. And God pronounced all these blessings upon obedience for the nation and all these curses upon disobedience for the nation. And you remember how food factored into that. Let me read you an example. Deuteronomy 28:11. If the people obey the Lord and His law, the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Who's in charge? God's in charge. And God chooses to bless and brings blessing when He sees fit. What about the opposite of that? Deuteronomy 28. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and shalt gather but little in. For the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes. For the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coasts, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with oil. For thine olive shall cast his fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All thy trees and fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. What do we learn from a passage of Scripture like that? We learn that God's in charge of either blessing the means to give us that food, that abundance, or God can withhold it and bring a curse upon those things. And in all of that, we must recognize that God's in charge of the world. He's in charge of the world. He's in charge of the food. He's in charge of absolutely everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the psalmist says. God's in charge of everything. And the fourth petition teaches us that. It reminds us of that. It reminds us that God is the one who can give these things and we have to go to Him to get them. The modern world will cause you to think that it's not necessary. You've got plenty, we've got plenty, you don't really need to pray about it, but we do need to pray about it. We do need to go to God and ask Him. It teaches us to be dependent. The fourth petition teaches us to be dependent as opposed to independent. Now I realize that we're all Americans, and Americans value and prize independence. I'm going to do it on my own. I'm going to take care of it. I don't need any help. Now, in some cases, that could be a good thing. But when it comes to us and our relationship with God, That's fatal, isn't it? Because that's not how it works with God. We're not independent from God. We are totally dependent on Him. And we tend to slip into this thinking that we've got it all figured out. We're in control until God shakes us up and reminds us that He's still in charge. And He's in charge of something so basic as food. And Jesus teaches us here to look to our Heavenly Father and ask Him to provide our needs. And in doing so, He teaches us, you're dependent. You're dependent on God to give you what you need. The fourth petition also teaches us, as we ask God to give us our daily bread, to distinguish between needs and wants. And this is a tough one for us many times, because we have our list of needs and we have our list of wants, and which one is usually bigger? It's usually this list, right? We've got all our wants. And somehow, somebody messes with the books from time to time, and this stuff on this list gets over here in this list, right? And we start thinking, well, that's not really a want, that's a need. And so we make certain expectations. We put certain expectations on God to do things for us, and we're mad when He doesn't. We're disappointed. We're discouraged when He doesn't meet our wants and our expectations. But Jesus teaches us here to think about the basic needs of life and asking God to provide those things. Would we be content and happy if all we had were food and clothing? Probably not. You say, Pastor Nick, I got a lot of other stuff I need. I got a ton of other things I need. Now, I know what you want to say. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Pastor Nick, we live in a modern world. We need all these. I need a car. I need a phone. I need a this. I need a that. And sometimes we forget that God's not promised to meet everything that we put in the category of need. He's promised to supply what our actual needs. As Paul says in 1 Timothy 6:8, and having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. That's a tough thing for us Americans to do, to be content. But Jesus teaches us to be content here in the fourth petition. He teaches us to ask God for our daily bread, and in doing so, we're asking God to meet our needs, not give us everything that we want or may desire. Because, in addition to that, as you heard in the scripture reading this morning, if you pray the wrong kind of prayers, asking God to fulfill all your wants, all your desires, you may end up in a situation where you actually deny Him, where you actually forget about Him, where you actually don't need Him anymore. Proverbs 30. The author of the proverb says, give me neither poverty nor riches, feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Did you know that that's why God often says no to your prayer requests? Because you're asking for God to make you rich, to give you more than you need? He's trying to protect you from the danger of denying Him. Think about the children of Israel. When the children of Israel went into the promised land, God warned them. He warned them about prosperity. He warned them about blessing. Now, why would God warn anybody about blessings and prosperity? Because they would go into the land, they would partake of all these good things that God had given them, and this strange thing happens. They take all that and they forget about Him. They deny Him. And that's exactly what happened in the history of Israel, right? They end up worshiping idols and denying the Lord who provided all the blessings. So we don't pray, God, make me rich. We don't pray, God, give me an overflowing abundance so that it's coming out of my ears and I don't know what to do with all of it. No, we pray, God, give me what I need. We also don't pray for poverty. Right? We heard that in Proverbs 30 as well. Give me neither poverty nor riches, lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. We pray that God would supply our daily bread so that we're not so hungry that we resort to sinful and drastic measures to get something to eat. Now, maybe we can't conceive of that particular situation, But it certainly does happen, doesn't it? In the history of the world, you've had wars and famines and different things where people struggled just to survive, where people found it very difficult to live. I think of this scene in a movie that I watched one time. It was a movie about a Polish pianist, and it was set during the time of World War II, and in the final act of the film, the guy is just trying to make it. He's just trying to survive. And what he's focused on is food. He's just trying to find something to eat. And every time I see that, I think, Lord, thank you. Thank you that we're not in that condition. Thank you that that's not where we are. God, keep us from that. Lord, keep us from that situation. Because who knows what kind of people we'll be without God's restraining and providing hand. And so we pray with the proverb, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Third and finally, we pray not only for bread, we pray not only that God would give it to us, recognizing Him as the source and provider, but we pray for daily bread. We pray for today's bread. This is emphasized in two ways here in verse 11. Give us this day, as opposed to tomorrow or the next day or the day after, our daily bread, the bread we need for today. So in asking God for bread, we are asking Him just for today's bread. We don't ask for tomorrow's bread. We don't ask for a future supply of bread. We ask that God would meet today's need. What do we learn from that? Well, we learn the habit of daily prayer. First of all, we learn that we need to pray every day. If we need bread every day, then we must need to pray every day that God would supply and meet that need of daily bread. Matthew Henry puts it this way, we ask for our daily bread, which teaches us not to take thought for the morrow, but constantly to depend upon divine providence as those that live from hand to mouth. The Lord teaches us here to focus on today's needs, and so we pray for today's bread. Because we have a temptation, don't we, to be arrogant about tomorrow. Maybe we don't mean to be. We don't always mean to presume upon the future. But sometimes it almost just comes naturally to think that tomorrow is going to be fine and the next day is going to be fine, and we can be presumptuous. We can be arrogant about tomorrow. But again, the proverb says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. And so we don't assume things about tomorrow. We focus on today, and we think of today's needs and ask God to meet those needs. In doing so, Jesus also teaches us not to worry about tomorrow. That's a tough one, isn't it? It's a tough one to not worry about the next day or the next month or the next year or whatever it may be. Keep your finger there in Matthew 6:11 and turn over to verse 34, same chapter. Matthew 6:34. This is the close, of course, of this chapter. Chapter 6, and Jesus is teaching about necessities, food, clothing, things like that. In verse 34, he says, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What does Jesus mean by that? Don't be thinking about tomorrow. Don't be worrying about tomorrow. Think about today. Today has its own problems, its own difficulties. Focus on that. And here in the fourth petition, we are praying that. We're praying, Lord, give us this day our daily bread to help keep us from worrying about tomorrow, from worrying about the future. I suppose we all worry about the future, don't we? I do it, even though I'm not much of a worrier. I'm not a professional worrier like my mom. She's a world-class worrier, my mom is. I'm not like that, personality-wise, but I still worry sometimes. I worry about the next day or the day after. Do you? Let the fourth petition teach you not to do that. Pray this prayer and ask God to provide your daily bread for today. And focus on today, not the next day or the day after. Now, many times we wonder what the will of God is, and we wonder whether God will answer our prayers. But here is one where there is no question about the will of God. There's no mystery about the will of God. And there's no mystery whether or not he's going to answer. If you pray this fourth request of the Lord's Prayer, you can be assured that God will answer. That God will meet your needs because he has promised to do that very thing. He's not promised to do all the things that we might want, all the things that we might pray about and ask God to accomplish. Many times God says no. Right? Many times God says, wait, or something other than yes. Right? And God doesn't do what we want him to do. And we wonder about that. But we don't need to wonder about the fourth petition, because we know that God wants to provide our needs, and he can provide our needs, and he will provide our needs. Again, same chapter, chapter 6 and verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, the birds of the air, Jesus says. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. God takes care of the birds. And Jesus says, look at the birds. They're not going to all this trouble. They're not doing all these things. But yet God takes care of them. He provides for them. And then Jesus concludes with this question, verse 26, are you not much better than they? Who's God love more, you or birds? You. He loves you. You're of more value than many sparrows, Jesus will later say. Now, God will provide our needs. He will take care of us in every way we need him to. And the fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread, reminds us of that, teaches us that. So don't be embarrassed to ask God tomorrow to give you food. I tried it out on the kids yesterday, and they thought it was a little funny that my prayer request was food, that I would ask for food. But we should do it more. We should do it more, not to be funny or cute, but because we are doing so to acknowledge our dependence on God, to acknowledge that God is in charge of the food. We have to ask him for it, and he has to give it. He has to bless it, or it won't do us any good. This fourth petition teaches us to go to God and see him as the great provider and sustainer of human life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for providing our daily bread. You have given us, Lord, so many blessings, so many good things, but you provide for our basic needs, the necessities of life, and we give you praise for that. Lord, we're tempted to think that we're independent and we've got it under control and we don't need to ask for things like this, but we are reminded today that we do, need to ask you to supply today's food, to supply today's clothing, to supply today's needs, because we need you, Lord. We recognize you as the sovereign creator, sustainer, and provider. And so we go not to science, we go not to the grocery store, we go not to ourselves to seek provision. We go first and foremost to you. And even in all these other areas, we see your hand. We see that you are the one behind it all, providing exactly what we need. We give you thanks and praise for that today. And we pray as we look forward to this Thanksgiving week that you would remind us of it often and help us to be thankful that you have provided our daily bread. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As you leave today, may grace be with you. Amen.